So klingt Weihnachten bei Rewe. Jetzt festlich sparen bei deinem Weihnachtseinkauf. Diese Woche bei Rewe Ferrero Rocher je 200 Gramm Packung nur 2,99 Euro. Außerdem Mionetto Prosecco Spumante Doc je 0,75 Liter Flasche nur 5,99 Euro. Festlich sparen bei Rewe. Dein Markt.
Hey everyone, Travis here. What you're going to hear today is a little different than what we normally do in this podcast feed. Chris and I are usually in the same call talking about a specific song in Kanye's discography. But over on the YouTube channel, we open up a little bit. We'll do fun like lists, you know, rankings and stuff, analyze music videos, things like that, that sometimes those videos help to have a visual component to them, but they don't always. And we thought they'd be fun to post here in the podcast feed as well. So that's what you're hearing today. If you want to go watch the video with it, you can, of course, go do that. But we thought, why not give you all the content you can get on the podcast feed? Okay, thank you so much and stay wavy.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep it locked. I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Hey everyone, my name is Chris Lambert. On this channel, we talk Kanye West. And today we're going to be talking these text messages between Ye and Pete Davidson. And most of you have already read them, I'm sure. And you're just here because you want to hear some reaction and context, the entertainment value of somebody going over all of this. And then, I mean, if you haven't read these things, if you're one of the people that are here because you're just like, what is this? Congratulations to you on living a life that is so disconnected from social media and clickbait media that you're hearing this from me. Like, keep doing what you're doing and keep watching, you know? But I want to tell two stories that kind of summarize how I feel about this interaction at this point, or the drama that's been unfolding between Pete and Ye at this point. And I'm going to stay like, I don't think I'm going to explain that. I'm just going to tell the stories and you can, you know, kind of take from it what you will. But the first one is that in eighth grade, I was in the lunch line of school, right? And I was at the end of the line and it was me and my friend Rachel. And Rachel was very pretty, very like charming and bubbly. And I didn't have a crush on her or anything. We were just friends. But I still wanted, like, I thought of Rachel as like cool. And the fact that she was my friend, I was always just like, oh man, I have a cool friend like Rachel. And one day as we're in the lunch line at the very end, like talking, this kid, Michael, Michael comes up and cuts us, which made no sense, right? We're just two people at the very back of the line, but he cuts specifically us. And I didn't like that. I wanted to be cool in front of Rachel, so I push Michael, and I'm just like, what are you doing? Like, get to the back of the line. And he has some choice swear words for me and pushes me back and is clearly, like, unhappy. And me, as an adult, looking back on it, can imagine that Michael was probably having, like, a really bad day. It turned out he was, like, just in the principal's office for something, like, got in trouble, like, school probably wasn't going well. Like, maybe there was something going on at home. Like, Michael didn't just cut us because things are fine in his life and he's a jerk, right? There was something going on. He's sick. He's annoyed, like angry and annoyed, cuts us. But I don't care. I'm just like, hey, he can't do that. And I need to look cool in front of Rachel. So I push him. He swears. I don't like that. So I push him again. And we start fighting. Like, he throws a punch. I throw a punch. Neither of us lands the punch. And then we start like wrestling and I have him in a headlock. He's pulling at my shirt. And finally, like, a teacher runs and pulls us apart. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, I just got in this like fight and I stood my ground and I did that in front of Rachel. And wow, I really did that. That was something out of a movie, out of a TV show. And I look over And like Michael, like red faced, right? Mike, he was always Mike. Mike's red faced and like huffing. I'm like breathless. And I look over, Rachel is laughing. She is crying. She's laughing so hard. Just tears coming out of her face, doubled over, holding her stomach. And the teacher that broke us apart takes Michael, Mike, back to the principal's office and just leaves me where I am. Doesn't even care, right? Because I don't know. I'm a no one. Like, I don't get in trouble. Mike had just been in trouble, so now is going back. And I look at Rachel. I'm just like, why are you laughing? And she's like, I'm sorry. That was just the most absurd looking thing I've ever seen. You two just looked so ridiculous. And in my head, I'm thinking how intense it was, how like much I stood my ground, how I dodged the punch. You know, he might have dodged my punch, but we were like wrestling and grappling and trying to throw each other. And to Rachel, our one like audience member who I like opinion mattered to me, is just like laughing at us and thought that we were just silly. So there's that story. And then the other story is Fyre Festival. You remember Fyre Festival? It was supposed to be this end-all, be-all, best festival of all time, so legendary. It was advertised everywhere in this exclusive kind of way. All these social media influencers, like at the top of the pyramid, were posting about how they're going to Fyre Festival. And all these people signed up to go. It was supposed to be on this island with the sweet lodging and by the beach. All these great musicians were already signed up to be there. So it seemed like it was going to be one of the greatest things. And then it was a complete disaster. They made documentaries about it. The guy that put it together, Billy McFarlane, went to jail. It was so badly handled. There were people that arrived to the island and the lodgings weren't ready. The food, like there wasn't enough food. There wasn't enough water. There were actual like medical emergencies because people were just out in the heat. Did it have like a place to be out of the elements? There was no internet. People were struggling to book tickets home. The island itself wasn't logistically able to handle, the infrastructure wasn't able to handle how many of these just like yuppie Americans flew into the island. It was really like hellacious. And you have people on social media, of course, like just relishing in the Schadenfreude, I forget what it is, but when you take pleasure in the pain someone else is experiencing, they're just like, ha, all these like yuppies went to this place for this great time and now look at them, they're miserable, ha ha ha. It became like a huge joke. But when you watch the documentaries about what was going on behind the scenes of Firefest, there were a lot of people who were earnestly trying to make this happen and ended up telling Billy McFarlane, is that his name? Billy McFarlane? Like, this isn't possible. Like, we should refund money now. We should cancel it. Like, we didn't give ourselves enough of a runway to make it happen. It's not that the festival wasn't possible. It's just it needed time and money that Billy wasn't, like, he didn't have the money and he wasn't giving them the time and rushing this. And whenever people were saying, like, we shouldn't be doing this, this can't happen, no, 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 Billy was saying, I need someone that can make it happen. I need someone that's going to say, yes, you're fired. So it's like all these smart, capable people that were saying, like, hey, we can't do this, were then let go because there's someone at the top that thought no was just a mindset, right? That there was always going to be a way to make it work if you're just driven and motivated enough. And unfortunately, that's not always the case. And on the one hand, you do see all these stories of people that are really successful because they don't accept no, because they push on, they find a way. Like a lot of successful people and companies and even like countries, right, will find a way to make something happen. So always saying no or just giving up, I'm not saying that's the best thing to do. It's just there are times where if you're the person in the room that's saying like, no, this can't happen, you can be kicked out, right? You can be frowned upon. It can be a negative thing to go against the popular opinion. So those two stories essentially are how I feel about this situation. The person that is saying like, hey, maybe this should stop. And like Rachel watching me and Mike Niemöller fight and just finding it's like outrageous. That's how I kind of feel in summation of this at this point. It's like, I feel for both Ye and Pete, like Ye for the fact that he's going through so much and like trying to like sort out his feelings. But I don't think defeating Pete brings him anything at this point, right? It's not like Pete's not the hurdle to getting Kim back. It's not the hurdle to everything being like magically fixed with scheduling things with his kids or seeing his kids. It's like Pete is an easy target at this point, right? Rather than a worthwhile target. And Pete is standing up for himself and trying to like not take shit anymore from Ye. But at the same time, like how he's going about it just feels equally ridiculous to me or unhelpful. It's like Ye is also being very unhelpful, but there's kind of like a generic quality to what he's doing in terms of song lyrics, in terms of the music video that's a little disconnected. It's like attacking the idea of Pete rather than going after Pete's like personally, privately. Yes, it is very personal, but I mean like actually showing up to Pete's like place or apartment or like him and Kim and like yelling at him, right? Everything has just kind of been this general idea of attacking Pete rather than him actually going and getting into confrontations with Pete. But now Pete is escalating it to direct verbal confrontations with Ye. And it's just like, I don't know if that's the right decision. And I don't know. Maybe sometimes you have to like just go down that path. You have to fight Mike Niemöller in order to realize like maybe it's not worth like fighting Mike Niemöller. Like we're the last two people in line. If one more person cuts us, what's that really like doing, right? So okay, let's get into these text messages. You have Pete's as with its Ye too. Oh, these texts were posted not by Pete himself, by Dave Cyrus, who's an SNL writer or was an SNL writer. And also co-wrote The King of Staten Island, which is the movie that Pete did with Judd Apatow that was kind of like Pete's first foray into being a leading man in cinema. Like written by Judd, Pete, and Dave, like directed by Judd, like for it to be a Judd Apatow movie is a big deal, or was a big deal at some points. But Dave's like friends with Pete and a good friend with Pete, and he posted it to his Instagram and then blocked us, I guess. I could check out his page earlier, and then it seems at some point I didn't say anything to him. I didn't post anything about him. I didn't make a comment about him. But I guess just having Kanye in our name was enough for him to be like, nah, these guys are blocked. Which, you know, I get. He's probably tired. And especially after posting these in the avalanche of attention that it got, he's probably just like, you know what? I don't want to hear from any of these people. So he posted all of these messages. So, yo, it's Skeet. Can you please take a second? Which, you know, you got to give some credit to Pete for leaning into the Skeet name. We saw that one article where he talked about how he found all of this hilarious is what Page Six was saying, that he wasn't bothered by it, like thought it was funny, and that it was only strengthening his relationship with Kim. So he's like, yo, it's Skeets, trying to use humor to disarm the situation up front, right? Okay, good way to start. Can you please take a second and calm down? Bad way to start. Like, telling Ye to calm down is essentially like how to piss Ye off 101, which maybe he knows that, or maybe he just thinks like in a very like New York Staten Island way, telling someone to calm down, you're doing the right thing. This is not the right thing. And he says it's 8 a.m. and indeed it's 8:09 a.m. when these are being posted. And it don't gotta be like this. I think this is in reference to Ye had posted a lot to Instagram. He was upset at the fact that North wasn't going to be at Sunday service at 10 a.m. and took to Instagram to post that he had told Kim that Sunday service was moved to 10 a.m. because Saint had a soccer game at noon, and Kim had told him that morning, right? Not the day before when he texted her, and Ye provided the text message where he said at 2 p.m. on Saturday that he was moving Sunday service. It wasn't until that morning, Sunday morning, that Kim was like, oh, North won't be there because she was at a sleepover last night. So, and Ye's just like, what the hell? Like, you didn't tell me that. You couldn't inform me. You couldn't, like, stop her from going to the sleepover or make sure if she did go to the sleepover, she knew she still had to get up and come to Sunday service. Like, how are you, like, this is, like, shared custody? Like, how are we doing this? This is annoying. He was clearly, like, very upset by this. And Pete, in response, is just like, it don't gotta be like this. Kim is literally the best mother I've ever met. Which, I mean, hey, you know, Pete's mom, like, hey, what she does for those kids is amazing, and you are so lucky, so effing lucky that she's your kid's mom. So he's like trying to defend Kim. I've decided I'm not going to let you treat us this way anymore, and I'm done being quiet. So, okay, right? You're just like, where's this energy been? And he's like, answering that question, like, I'm not going to let you treat us this way anymore, and I'm done being quiet. But it's not like, Ye has talked about Kim being like a great mom. He's like, he knows she like loves the kids. The issue is that they've been having like scheduling problems, right? Where Ye wants to do something, but Kim's saying it can't be done, or doesn't inform him about something else, or changes plans last minute with this. And it just seems like a lot of the issues that Ye has posted about between he and Kim regarding the kids have been scheduling conflicts or miscommunications around scheduling or denials of schedule because Ye is making a change or a request last minute and there's already plans, or Kim's not adapting to that or responding to that. It just seems like they need someone that their full-time job is just schedule, like managing the schedule and being like, yes, yay, you're saying this. Let me like bring that to Kim and let her know that this is now on the schedule. And Kim can be like, oh, that's on the schedule. Okay. Like just someone doing that seems like it might alleviate a lot of the burden, though maybe not. I don't know what's going on. But just from what we have seen, there's so much that's just been scheduling issues. Like the kids not being able to go somewhere, or Ye not being informed about where something is. It's things that can like easily be overcome, but right now the two are working through how they're communicating as like co-parents, right? Not as a married couple with kids, but as a divorced like people that are co-parenting four kids, and that can be a lot. Anyway, so Pete is pointing more towards like the quality of Kim as a mother rather than the quality of co-parenting at the moment. But and then saying, I've decided I'm not going to let you treat us this way. Like, I'm done being quiet. Okay. Grow the F up, which also don't know if that's helping the situation. right? Like, what's he want Kanye to do at this point? Just like accept what happened, not be upset about what happened, to reach out to Kim privately and just be like, can we still make sure North is there? Just saying grow the F up isn't adding to the conversation. And this is one of the things on social media that you see, and with anything at this point, right? People are going to be positive or negative towards something. There's always a glass half full, glass half empty response that people are inherently going to have to anything, to someone like a movie, a sports team, an athlete, a celebrity. So Pete doing this, there are going to be people that are cheering it on, feeling like, oh, Ye has like, you know, the scales have been tipped in Ye's favor. He's been doing so much that Pete has kind of free reign to tip the scales back in his favor. So this isn't too much. This is like eye for an eye, fire with fire, tit for tat. And to me, it's one of those things where it's just like, I don't think this is a great way of going about it. The same thing with like Ye and the song lyrics, the music video, all the Instagram posts. Like, I don't think that's a great way of going about it either. Like, I don't know if that, like, why you're doing this is just frustration. And it might feel good in terms of getting out some of the frustration, right? But I don't know if it's going to ultimately get you closer to the thing that you want, which at the time might have been winning Kim back. Now might just be having a positive co-parenting situation. Like, defeating Pete is not going to help with anything. And Pete yelling at Ye is not going to be the thing that makes him go like, you know what? Pete's right. It's just going to lead to more antagonism, especially when you're just saying like, grow the F up, like yada, yada, yada. And Ye's response is like calm, but also intense. At first it's, oh, you using profanity, which is just kind of funny. Like, oh, you're talking to like a Christian man with this kind of language. How dare you? And then where are you right now? It does have some undertones to it, right? Especially with Ye talking about like beating Pete's ass multiple times in the song, but also mentioning on social media, like now saying, where are you right now? It feels like, oh, is this like, why does Ye want to know, right? But after getting this kind of text, it feels like, all right, like it's up, right? Which is a phrase Ye had said multiple times, not in response to Pete and like wanting to fight Pete on social media, but just saying like, there's a battle going on right now and he feels like he's in a fight, whether it's with like Kim and the co-parenting, media, people trying to control his narrative. Like, he's kind of over like being placid on it or taking a passive stance. He's taking an active fighting position in things now and trying to control the narrative. Like, it's up. Like, this is a conflict that we're working through right now. But this definitely feels like a conflict that he wants to work through right now when he says, where are you right now? And Pete says, in bed with your wife, and posts this photo, which is him in a bed shirtless making that face. Is horrifying, like terrifying.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse, nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
And this led to actually a whole subplot involving a old rumor about Ariana Grande and Mac Miller and tweets or photos that Pete had sent. So here's a story from 2018. Did Pete Davidson send intimate pics with Ariana Grande to Mac Miller before his death? And this like was a whole subplot conversation as people were saying this is confirmation that this happened. Other people were saying like, don't bring Mac into this drama. Like, why are we even like bringing his name into this? But I get it because, so this was the tweet. According to TMZ, Pete Davidson sent intimate photos with Ariana Grande to Mac Miller as a way to end the rapper's hopes about her. So Ariana and Mac were together for a couple years. Ariana could no longer deal with Mac having like drug use and some addiction issues, so ended the relationship, started dating Pete shortly after, but clearly there was still like a lot of emotion between Ariana and Mac. So this was saying that Pete sent these photos as a way to discourage Mac. And it wasn't long after Pete and Ariana started dating that Mac ended up having a fatal overdose due to drugs that were laced, right? It didn't seem to be a conscious thing or even like an irresponsible use by Mac. It was just one of the sad realities of that kind of lifestyle is that you are sometimes hitting something that is laced with something that is fatal. And that ended up being the case. But there was a lot of speculation in the aftermath before everybody knew the details of everything. And so there was this rumor that got started that, you know, maybe one of the things that contributed to it was Pete sending these photos. And Ariana discovered this weekend from Mac's relatives and ended the relationship. The thing is, there was never a TMZ article. This tweet was the only like source, right? And people just ran with it. It started getting like reported on social media. People started writing outlines, acting like TMZ had reported on it. And it became this lore in, Ariana, Pete's, Mac Miller's circles, right? People believed it, people didn't believe it, but it's been a continual talking point to the fact that Ye actually posted about it. He had a screenshot of a tweet like this and just said no comment. And they asked Ariana Grande's brother about it recently. Somebody did. And he said, I mean, listen, I've never heard of that in my life. So it's something that he seemingly denied happened. Just like, no, that's never something that's been brought up. And of course, you'll have people be like, well, you know, he doesn't have to know. Maybe Ariana didn't tell him. Maybe it was something she kept to herself. This doesn't disprove that it happened. And other people being like, see, he's never heard about it. So how could it have happened? You imagine she would have told him. Maybe he's just lying and he does know, yada, yada, yada. So some people think this is very conclusive. Some people think this is inconclusive. But at the end of the day, Pete posting something like this just feeds into the idea that this actually happened. Because if he's willing to do this to Ye right now, was he willing to do this to Mac back then? Right? So that was a whole subplot of this photo. And Ye's response is just happy to see you're out of the hospital and rehab, which is very snarky, as Pete has been to rehab. He's had addiction issues, mental health issues, right? And been in rehab for both things. He's done a lot of work to be in the place that he's at now, which I think for the most part is a lot more positive. But here, yeah, he's really like letting loose in some ways of in terms of like, you know, trying to stand up to Ye and getting combative and falling into some of this like negative behavior, negative energy. And Ye's just kind of like judoing it, trying to maintain the high ground while also taking some shots. Right? Because it sounds like calm. It sounds like he's diffusing in some ways. Like he's not taking the bait, so to speak, but he's still sending us some shots. And then Pete just says, same here. It's wonders what those places do when you go get help. You should try it. So condescendingly now calling out Ye's mental health and taking some shots at that while acting like he's giving advice, and says, I'm in LA for the day. If you want to stop being a little internet bitch, a little internet bitch boy and talk, which like, okay. And this is some of the New York like coming out of him, right? I think the goal was to have a conversation. Like he wants to talk with Ye, set things right, but there's this posturing that has to take place up front. I'm not scared of you. Like we can like throw down if you want, but actually let's talk. And he says, you don't scare me, bro. Your actions are so P-word and embarrassing. It's so sad to watch you ruin your legacy on the daily, which is just like, again, posturing, bravado. There are people that are just like, oh, he said these things. And this is to me like I'm Rachel in this situation, watching me and Mike fight. And it's just like, that's like, these are the things that you're saying. These are the shots that you're throwing. Like, this just feels so exhausting and like kind of childish to me. And that's not to say like the things that Ye has been doing up to this point have been like great and I stand behind them. That's me at Firefest being the person that's just like, I don't think we should be doing this. Like, I'm not a fan of how any of this has been handled. Like, I think some of it can be entertaining at times, like with the lyric in the Easy song. I'm more inclined to find that like fun feuding rather than this being fun feuding. Like, this to me is just so much more like intimate and ridiculous than what Ye had been doing, which felt a lot more like wrestling, right? Like, you're putting things into a song lyric, you're making a ridiculous music video. It's all external and kind of generic and like wrestling, as opposed to this, which is like just actual dramatic combative conversation, or attempts at a like dramatic combative conversation, and reading just so like silly to me. And he says, okay, it's so sad to watch you ruin your legacy on the daily. And then Ye says, you're more than welcome to come to Sunday service. So like, I'm not going to, he'd even give a place yet. He's like, I'm in LA for the day. If you want to stop, like if you want to talk, right? So Ye offers, you're more than welcome to come to Sunday service. Like Pete wants to meet, Ye asks him to come to Sunday service. And Pete's response is, why don't we meet after Sunday service and Saints game? The aforementioned soccer game. It was the reason why Ye moved Sunday service to 10 a.m. I'll be at the BHH. We can have food and talk it out in my room. The hotel, because it seems Kim has still been keeping Pete out of the house, away from the kids. Like, they're not at the point where she's ready to have Pete meet them. And Pete had even said that, I think, in the text message that he had previously sent to Ye, where he's just like, hey, like, I haven't been, like, met the kids yet. I'm not going to try to dictate, like, anything between you and Kim. I'm not, like, going to stop you from doing your thing. I hope one day we can just all be friends, like, me, you, and the kids. And Ye was very dismissive of Pete making this positive gesture. So it's not like Pete, like, this is the first thing Pete has said. He's tried to play it cool. He's tried to take the higher road, which is another reason why there are people just being like, you know what, go get yours. Like, you tried to do the good thing. Now you can, like, go say whatever you want and it's okay. Or, like, to me, it's like, nah, just stick with the good thing. That's how I feel. Like, just because somebody else is starting to be, like, that way, I don't think it's to the point yet where, like, this is justified. This just seems like it's going to hurt things more than help things. But why don't we meet after Sunday service? So he's at that hotel, right? Privately, one-on-one, man-to-man. So he's like, I want to do this privately. We can talk man-to-man. What you are doing to your family is dangerous and going to scar them for life, which a lot of people do feel that, you know, Kim has said that it's dangerous. A lot of people have said that it's like putting this kind of negative energy into the public space is going to have lasting repercussions. It's also riling people up into like an anger towards Pete, an anger towards Kim, which I have seen. Like, there are people that have been very angry towards Pete and very angry towards Kim on social media. I mean, people were always like perturbed at them, right? And would be, regardless of what Ye's saying, people would take sides. They'd have some like feelings. Kim has faced a lot of negative energy from the public just for being herself and having the success that she's had. But this is definitely like causing a lot more antagonism. But star them for life is a big thing to say, right? Especially when it's like what you're doing to your family. And Pete thinks that he's being real. Like, I'm telling you how it is. But I don't know if that's helpful. Please handle these matters privately, bro. I beg you. And the irony slash hypocrisy to that is Pete then had these text messages posted publicly. So I get that Ye is somebody that also posts everything publicly. So I'm not just saying like, why would he do this? Like, Ye would never do something. Like, Ye has been posting everything publicly, but he's also not the person that's asking things to be handled privately. He's not saying like, Kim, let's do this privately and posting it publicly. He's the one saying like, hey, I just want to talk. I can't talk to you in private. I'm talking to you in public. I'm making this known in public, trying to control things. And he even said how when he talks about something in public, it's because he's talked about it 10 times in private, and he's just at the point where he's saying it publicly. That also doesn't justify everything that he's doing. It's just like, if you're the person saying to keep things private, you lose some points if you then take things public. Not to everyone. Other people, again, are going to be like, hey, this is fine. It's just, to me, who's already viewing this as problematic, This is just one of those other things. It's like, yeah, you know, a little absurd. And then Ye says, you want to see me, come to Sunday service. So he's drawing a line in the sand. Sunday service is where it's at and the only place it's going to be at. And Pete's response is, this isn't public, dude. I'm not here for pictures and press, which is obviously all you care about. He then made it public and caused it to be this huge press thing. Okay, my offer stands, which it's kind of funny because Ye had been the one that was kind of like threatening, right? As people were saying, he's the one talking about like beat Pete Davidson's ass in the Easy song lyrics. He's the one making that Easy video. He's the one that's kind of mentioned at other times yelling at Pete or like mocking Pete, even saying like earlier in this conversation, like, where are you? Right? Where are you right now? In this way that felt very like, oh, what's he thinking? And yet he's the one that wants to meet publicly. Like, let's have this conversation in public, come to Sunday service, we'll talk. And Pete's the one that's like, no, let's do this private one-on-one. You think Pete would be the one that's like, let's talk at Sunday service where everybody is. And Ye's the one being like, no, tell me where your hotel is. I'm going to come to your hotel room. It just seems like if you want to talk, just talk. If Ye wants to talk at Sunday service, go talk to him at Sunday service. Like, if it's going to be like public and there's going to be press and pictures, fine, have the conversation and, you know, let it be shown on record that you are the one that went to him to have a conversation that could maybe find some like common ground. But instead, you're drawing this line in the sand as well of like, no, I'm only talking to you in my hotel room. That's it. And then says, I wish you'd man up for once in your life, which, like, what are you trying to accomplish again? Like, are you trying to establish, like, you're a big man too and you can go toe-to-toe with Ye? Like, I wish you'd man up for once in your life. I feel like anyone that's ever lived, like, a lower class, lower middle class, even, like, middle upper class life has had to man up at some point in their life, like, to pay bills, to make things happen. We just saw this entire documentary about Ye from 2002 to 2004 to 2021. Ye manned up plenty of times throughout his life. So it's just one of those things where it's like, you just have to frame it that way. I wish you'd man up for once in your life. It's not helping. It's just a comment that doesn't help anything. And again, this isn't me only having this energy for Pete. Like, I also don't think things that Ye has been saying and doing, especially some of the social like Instagram posts about Pete, are accomplishing what you wanted to accomplish. It's one of those things where you're like hoping, like, it feels good to say because you're angry at this person or just angry in general, but like, is it doing anything? And this is not doing anything. And then he goes, let me help you, man, which is just a huge swing. Like, you go from like, man up, you suck, like, you're handling this horribly wrong, like, I'm not scared of you, you're ruining your legacy every day and it's sad, like, all these like tearing down moments and language and descriptions to let me help you. I struggle with mental stuff too. It's not an easy journey. You don't have to feel this way anymore. There's no shame in having a little help. You'll be so happy and at peace. There's if well-intentioned, there's still a condescending ring to everything. And if this is truly how he feels and you're like, let me help you, I know this is difficult, then why all of this? Why all of the other things you've been saying? Why the photo of you in bed, right? Like, you're causing mental issues at that point. Like, you're not bringing towards peace, but now you're offering to help. Why not start? I mean, starting with that probably wouldn't accomplish anything either. But then he goes to, you have no idea how nice I've been to you, despite your actions towards me. I've stopped SNL from talking about or making fun of you, which they've wanted to do for months, which I can imagine they have wanted to do for months. SNL has not been, especially this group of SNL has not been happy about Ye ever since 2018, right? Like Ye's politics make him a target for SNL, but also when Ye went on SNL and the speech that he did at the end upset a lot of people who are still there. And then Pete's one of their own, right? Like, of course, they're going to ride for their friend and want to use their platform to go after Ye the same way that, like, the game is putting out Easy with Ye and okaying the Easy music video with Ye because he's, like, riding with his guy, right? So I get where SNL is coming from, and it is a big thing of Pete to be like, hey, don't do that. And that's just going to complicate things. That's just going to, like, cause more negativity than what's necessary. Like, that earns some points with me doing that, but then throwing it in Ye's face loses some points, right? And we go into, I've stopped stand-up comedians from doing bits about you because I don't want the father of my girl's kids to look bad out there, which is just such a, I imagine, a triggering phrasing. And you know, despite all this, like, I'm making a 38 minute video on this right now. Ye didn't really talk about this in any of his, like, Instagram posts today. He made reference to it, but it's not like this was his focal point. He didn't go off on some huge thing about Pete sent me these texts, how dare he, this big public response. It seemed like really this was a fly buzzing around him, and he was more concerned about working things out with Kim, what people are saying about him, and all these other things that were beyond Pete's. So even though I'm saying, like, oh, this is upsetting the way that he framed this, was it? I mean, Ye didn't really seem to address any of this in a way that showed that he cared. But I've stopped stand-up comedians from doing bits because I don't want the father of my girl's kids to look bad out there. I guess that's nice, but then you're also, like, posting this when you're clowning on Ye throughout this and trying to make him look bad and feel bad. And it's just, again, I'm not saying he can't do this. It's just energy that is conflicting, because if you're trying to set things straight and make things good, then you don't say half the things. If you're trying to stand up to him and you don't care about things being good, then I get why you'd say a lot of these things. But to try standing up and then to, in the next breath, try making things right, it just doesn't seem like it is going to work out the way that you want it to. I have your back even though you treat me like shit because I want everything to be smooth. Okay. but if you continue to press me like you have for the past 6 months, I'm going to stop being nice. Which, okay, so what's that entail? Like, you're just going to go to war with Ye, start making fun of him all the time, start, like, causing more issues. Is that going to solve things? You're going to have Pete attacking Ye, Ye attacking Pete. Kim's going to be sitting there. Like, how is she going to feel about that? How are the kids going to feel about that? Nobody really wins from any of this energy, right? It just feels like, I don't think it accomplishes anything positive for anyone. And maybe it's the kind of thing where things have to get messy before they work themselves out. Maybe Pete sends these and posts it and then thinks back on it and was like, that was ridiculous. I don't know why I did any of that. And he changes the way in which he's handling it from here on out. Maybe he doubles down. Maybe he thinks this is great. Maybe John Mulaney calls him up and is like, home run, hit it out of the park with all of those messages. I couldn't have said it better myself. In fact, I want to send some messages to somebody in my life. Will you write them for me? Maybe that's happening. I don't think so. But, and again, that's not to say that, like, everything Ye has done is great. Ye has done has been great, and everything that Pete's done is awful. I don't think either of them have been going about it in a great way. And I get why Pete is at a point where he's sending this, when this has been going on for months and months and months. But it's also funny how little Ye seems to care about it at the end of the day. Like, he's been more concerned with the spectacle of calling out Pete than the actual interactions and engaging with Pete, which just two very different levels of going about things, which you could probably write like a whole thesis paper on or make an hour and a half YouTube video about. But okay, I guess that's it for this video. We'll make more videos on other stuff later, but it is currently 3:45 a.m. So until next time, stay wavy and keep it loopy. Cheers. And they ask me, I tell them, Mr. Rockefeller, raise your glasses to the sky, yeah. This is the last call for alcohol.